With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let us tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right?
It's really cool, and it's so easy. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask.
And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity.
Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, the challenges that she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever.
Face it, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. My own mom, when I gave her MyLifeInABook.com, let me tell you something. They ask great questions like, what was your favorite childhood game? And when she told me, I was concerned, okay? I was concerned for my past mama, future mama. They played rough.
So check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code FRANGELA at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day.
That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code FRANGELA for 10% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, I'm Liz Winstead.
I'm Moji Alawode-El.
And we're the hosts of Feminist Buzzkills, the only weekly podcast that helps you navigate the post-Roe hellscape.
We dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with our guests, the abortion providers and activists working on the ground. Plus, we have amazing comedians to help us laugh through the rage.
Feminist Buzzkills drops Fridays wherever you get your pod fix. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
MSW Media.
Welcome to Teacher Quit Talk. I'm Miss Redacted.
And I'm Mrs. Frazzled. Every week we explore the teacher exodus to find out what, if anything, could get these educators back in the classroom.
We've all had our moments where we thought, what the hell am I doing here? From burnout to bureaucracy to soul-sucking stressors and creative dead ends.
From recognizing when it was time to go to navigating feelings of guilt and regret afterwards, we're here to cut out the gaslighting and get real about what it means to leave teaching.
We've got insights from former teachers from all over the country who have seen it all. So get ready to be disturbed. Join us on Teacher Quit Talk to laugh through the pain of the U.S. education system. We'll see you there.
Well, as you know, we embrace diversity here at the Stephanie Miller Show, and I've never seen so much diversity in underwears as Tomboy X. I got the new rainbow ones. I even got the rainbow shirt. You can use it as a t-shirt or jammies.
Fancy.
I got the pants.
Awesome.
And that's a V-neck. It's so pretty. Okay. Listen, it's like nobody took the time to design authentic underwear for strong, independent, right? Comfortable with yourself people like us. Tomboy X did. They created underwear that makes you feel like, you know, this underwear doesn't just fit, it gets me. Yes, I'm feeling proud, so I got the entire Pride line. The underwear, I've got the jammies, I've got the t-shirt. Tomboy X since 2014 has been making brazenly unapologetic underwear for all bodies, all shapes, all genders, all sizes, really all sizes, from boxer briefs to bikinis, boy shorts to bras. Every pair of Tomboy X is created to fit you and how you see yourself, and they've expanded way beyond underwear too. And with their love at first wear guarantee, you can order risk-free while you find your perfect fit. Discover your inner tomboy. Let me get you started with my special discount. Go to Tomboy X, enter the code Stephanie to get an extra 20% off. That's an extra 20% off when you enter Stephanie at tomboyx.com. That's tomboyx.com. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we are Frangela, and welcome to
The Final Word.
Bye, bye.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's majestic.
Yeah. It's fair. You know what? You know what I saw myself? I saw myself like at a movie theater in the 1940s.
Very, very.
And you find out who the killer is?
Yeah.
That's what I saw. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that we all saw it. I think we felt it.
Okay, good.
That
good,
was evocative.
The final word.
Word with Frangela.
The final word.
Yeah, it's
hard.
It's been a hard week.
It's a hard week.
we don't want to sugarcoat it. It's a hard week. And we've got wins.
We got some losers.
Some wins.
We know when to hold them. We know when to fold them.
We know when to walk away. We apparently don't know when to run.
No, we don't. We have no idea when to run.
We ain't got money to count.
No. We just want to remind you really quickly that you can always catch us on our television show, talk show, Me Time with Frangela. You also can pick up our comedy album, Resist. And
if you're backing up, you're probably on this street. Yes, I don't know if you can hear the constant beep, mm-hmm. beep, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. It's trash day, guys. We had to record a day early because we have a fun job tomorrow.
We do. I don't think we can talk about that either.
Yeah. We've got like three jobs we cannot talk about.
This is the thing, and this is just a quick aside. The game has changed in Hollywood in some disturbing ways, but this way is the kind of funny to me. Mm-hmm. Almost everything we do now, we have to sign an NDA.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about stuff that you're like, really, dude? Like, yeah, you have to sign an NDA for a commercial audition? Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're doing something amazing with it. It's just another commercial. But the reality of it is that I cannot tell you how it's frustrating.
Yes.
And we are not good at that.
No. We also want to remind you that you are currently listening to us on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network.
Hello. And go to sexyliberal.com. Mm-hmm. It's up. I went there. Check it out.
Yes.
See all the podcasts that are up there. Randy Rhodes, Dean Abadala,
Stephanie Miller.
Of course,
Bob
the Happy
Seska.
Hour.
Yep. Yeah, everybody.
Fugelsang is going to be there. I'm not sure that he's up yet, but
Jody Hamilton
from The Bunker will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Please check it out. It is your one-stop shop for all things progressive and political.
And in our sad news today, right now, Notre Dame is just on fire.
One of the spires is already falling. I am bereft. It's just whenever we lose as a species,
yes,
part of our history like that,
yes,
I can't.
It's awful.
It's really, really hard. And then, you know, it's nothing at this point nefarious outside of what sounds like perhaps an accident due to renovations.
Yeah.
But the loss is irreparable,
yeah.
You know, so, and I hope obviously that nobody's hurt and that they're able to put it out.
Yeah.
But it's sad to see it. It's really heartbreaking.
It is.
When you think what that has survived.
Yes.
From two world wars on.
Yeah.
So that's happening, and allegedly later this week,
the Mueller report will be released.
The redacted version
on Thursday
with the color coding.
Yes, with the color coding.
Color coding. You know, the KonMari version.
Well, you know what?
Get rid of whatever doesn't bring Trump joy.
Well, here's my question. I am hoping that the entire 400 pages is just one big blackout.
Oh, you know,
that's
but like,
what I'm hoping.
If they're funny,
yes.
If they have any sense of humor, they'll unblack out like conjunctions.
Yes,
you know,
like,
and
the
therefore two. Of. But did you see Kellyanne Conway's husband? Or I have to say something. Have we ever seen them together?
No.
I'm starting to wonder if it's the same person. Go
yeah.
with me on this theory.
Okay.
I'm thinking this might be a psycho situation. Where like when she looks poisoned in the house and you see somebody sitting in a chair, mm-hmm. and there's a skeleton and nobody in that chair. There is no.
So who do you think doesn't exist? George Conway or Kellyanne?
Oh, it's got to be George Conway.
You think so?
Because George Conway is nowhere near as animated as the Kellyanne construct. And also, I think the Kellyanne construct is harder to create because there's just not a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, when he tweeted, you know, the sentence, he was like, look for this is what we need to look for in this redacted report. The sentence that Barr had in his
right.
report that he says was taken from the Mueller report.
Right.
But where they've got the symbol at the front, which shows that something was left out of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a direct quote.
And you know this because I recently
took an English grammar class.
Yes.
So they have the symbols at the front that indicate that something has been removed from the quote. And he's like, that word is probably although.
Yeah, right.
No, we don't have evidence of direct collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, bet. Basically, he tweeted along these lines, bet that word is although or something like that.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that that section will be heavily color coded.
Redacted.
Why can't you make it sound pretty like color coding?
Redacted.
It's color coded.
No, it's not.
So
here's my question.
Yeah.
Okay. Once we get this redacted piece in our hands, right? You know, and our Congress gets that in our hands, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to feel about it? You know, those are my questions.
I'm not gonna, I need to know
that my team saw the whole report.
That's what and that's my thing.
I don't
too.
Give a fuck about this color. There, I've said it about the color code. I don't. If he has redacted anything from Congress, I have no interest in it.
No.
It's these a lot. Are people, right? You put in a skiff, do whatever the hell you think you have to do to keep it
that's
safe.
That's why I'm at too.
But I don't understand any need for redaction outside of if there's a specific asset whose name, their actual real name being point, but no other information should be kept from the people who are our elected representatives who have the clearance to do so.
That's
it's
right.
Absolutely. So I don't give a fuck about this thing. Whatever happens, if I don't hear that what they got was in no way truly redacted, then we're just going to keep pushing till we get that.
Exactly.
And remember, the number is 202-224-3121. Let them know. You will not forget this. You are not going to. We will march. We will do whatever. But we need to see the whole dang thing.
We need to see the whole thing. And that's for me, that's where I'm at. I'm like, you know what? Because I post it and people are like, yeah, but we're going to get the redacted. And I'm like, it's baby steps. And you're not going to, because we don't have, you know, power in the full Congress.
Which doesn't make sense, by the way.
I know. We're going to have, it's going to have to be baby steps. And we're going to have to fight tooth and nail every step of
and
the way.
And don't let them distract you.
No.
And I mean Democrats. Don't let Democrats distract you or let up on it.
Yeah.
I don't care. No. Okay, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
It kills me. So that's supposed to happen.
Yeah. Today is tax day.
Today is tax day, which weirdly you're not seeing stories about.
Well, yeah, that's what you were complaining about.
Well,
today.
I'm just noticing. I mean, it's not like I like tax stories. you know, it's like I'm like, why are we even talking about it? No, but normally you get all this like, oh, people doing their taxes. Oh, but it's odd to me that there's just so little mention of it.
But you know what? I feel like, you know, and I haven't heard enough theoretical. I've heard people, a lot of stories. I was telling Angela earlier today. I heard a lot of stories coming up to tax day about people being surprised that they did not get their full return how they usually get. And but I haven't heard enough outrage about that. I haven't heard enough people being outraged that they're not getting.
Can I tell you why?
Their refund.
We've blocked over 20,000 people on Twitter.
I mean just in general.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that you have to. Here's the problem with everything. What you're talking about, you've been algorithmed out of.
Yes.
So whether it's Facebook or Twitter, I'm sure Instagram does the same, although I haven't specifically read things about that. We have been algorithmed out of knowing what people who don't think like us think.
Yeah.
And or topics that are being discussed in other places in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of the political punditry and the news people seem to not. Either they're not affected or they don't care and they're, you know, they're off to the races on something else. But it feels like a really weird hollowness.
Yes.
In a story that they actually gave more attention to like a month ago,
mm-hmm.
before actual tax time.
That's
you
what
know?
I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, also I think it doesn't matter. I believe that, you know, when you, for me, what sticks in my head is, an interview that somebody did with some soybean farmer here in America. Nice man. He seemed like genuine, like an okay, nice guy until he talked. But he voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, how are you doing? He's like, he's losing everything.
Right.
You know, probably he was like, I don't know how much longer we're going to survive. But he said, I believe in the end, you know, yeah, we're going to suffer a little bit, but in the end, it'll be worth it. Because at the end of the day, it's never been economic insecurity. And it's always been the subjugation of brown, black people and women. And that's it.
Yep.
So as long as that goal is being met, I don't think you're going to hear complaining. Because the last thing they want to do is make the president that they want look bad.
This is on tax day, I know that a lot of people, a lot of Americans, and a lot of people who are probably listening to this podcast, they rely on that money, too. Get the new carburetor to live, to pay for, but it's always something really specific. It's like, I'm going to get my tax refund and we're going to do this with this money.
I know people it's specific, but it's not like a vacation.
No, it's not a vacation, but it's
not
real.
Like extreme.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's real living expenses.
It's like you're going to get that filling you need.
Exactly.
That's
what I mean. And so
the money's not going to sit in an account.
Yeah, no. And so what happens is now we're talking about siphoning, we've siphoned so much money out of this economy. We've siphoned so much money out of the middle class and the working class. And now you can't count on that $2,500, $1,500, $800 that you normally were getting every year. And so what happens? Because that's, again, a shortfall in your in your personal economy.
Well, here's the deal. Voting matters.
It really does.
And I'm just going to say to the almost half of the country that doesn't vote, suck it up, dude. Like, you got it. We got to get people voting.
Yeah.
And then we have to make sure that we make sure that every state, you get your state level legislatures to make sure that they are the Electoral College, until we get rid of it, that their votes have to match the popular vote. Then we have to make sure that every state gets either paper ballots or as close to it as you can get. We have a couple years here, a year and some change or whatever, to everybody start. I mean, the number we give, because we can't give out every state's legislature's numbers, because that would take the whole podcast. Right. But, you know, you can go online and find out who you need to contact at the state level and do it, please. That is a huge resistance item for us, because we are not going to be able to stop Russia from doing whatever they're doing. And let me tell you something. I believe other nations are like, wait, ho, this works? I don't know who's going to be all up in our mix. But what I know is that they're not doing anything to stop it.
Well,
so what we have to do is we have to protect our own voting.
Yep.
And so that, to me, that is my number one thing.
Well, when you have some strange Chinese woman walking up into Mar-a-Lago with a handful of malware, don't nobody respect us.
This is my problem.
No kind of way.
You have seen me repeatedly try to get on a plane with the proper ID, with Nexus, with everything. It gets double checked.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let me try to walk in there with 4 ounces of conditioner.
Yep.
I might as well be Osama bin Laden risen from the dead.
Yep.
They pull my black ass out that line quicker than a heart attack.
Yeah.
And I look at this situation and I'm like, it is incredible to me that, and I do, in this place I say the mainstream media is complicit. You people, what happened to the being fair and balanced concept, which I don't think is fair and balanced at all?
No.
Which is, if we say something negative about this person, we have to say something negative about that person.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even doing that anymore.
No.
And
no.
That was bullshit. That's not fair or balanced.
Yeah.
So I'm like, here's the deal. That I don't know why that isn't still being talked about. I don't know why it got so little attention.
I know.
To me, when you have this, literally, there are people who are still saying Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch hatched some plot in a two-minute high, how you doing on the tarmac?
And right now, we're watching the vilification of AOC. Representative Omar
and Rashida.
You know, it's just and trying to tie Nancy Pelosi as a weight to all three of them.
Well, this
is,
I find so many things interesting. Like, Trump today has, I guess, been tweeting that Nancy Pelosi is controlled by AOC.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious.
Which is hilarious.
Number one.
Hilarious.
I think Nancy's, I'm a little concerned she might be taking the bait a little bit on some of this. But as far as I'm concerned, I look at Pelosi. I got significant criticism of the DNC. Do not get me wrong, in the Democratic Party. But I want to say that if there's one thing that I find amazing about the midterms is how quickly people are willing to throw out what I saw was a fairly clear referendum on how we want more people of color and women in office.
Absolutely.
So I don't understand how that gets reinterpreted as we need two white guys on the ticket and let's focus on that now, or as we need to distance ourselves from these people and they're not groundbreaking politics.
Here's the thing. I have to say this. The fear, when I hear people talking about Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, who I love, I don't have a problem with him at all.
You have a problem with Pete.
No.
Pete rocks.
But the reason I fear that people are on, how we would say it in high school, on his job, in the way that they are, is that they fear not having a white man.
Well, I think they think that only a white man can win. Because yet again, people are still trying to get this mysterious, elusive economic anxiety voter who just didn't feel heard.
Yeah.
You know, and let's make sure that this person feels heard by putting up the I mean, there's been one black guy, guys. If you haven't felt heard on this, I don't really know how we're going to make you ever feel better. If you can't get every president but one.
I know.
To me, it's another way to distract us from the reality of this illegitimate presidency.
Yeah.
It's corrupt, absolutely corrupt nature. The corruption of people like Mitch McConnell. The corruption, you know, on and on and on.
And keeping us all in fear of the fact of, it's like, you know what, guys, if we don't have a white guy, guys.
Can I say that Twitter, you should be banning President Trump.
Yeah.
He pinned a tweet of the video of the man, made by the man who's in jail or went to jail, was arrested for threatening Congresswoman Omar.
We're going to pause for a second.
Okay, so we had to take a quick jump off to fix a sound issue. Also, everybody, Gail and Laura, thank you. You're amazing.
Yay.
They are producing our podcast now, and they're doing a wonderful job. And, of course, we're working out some kinks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So we just had a phone ring, so we took a little bump out of that.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the why we people running to the idea of two white male candidates for president.
Yes.
And how that seems like not only an overreaction, but actually a refusal to acknowledge what just got said in my view, at the midterms.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. This a friend of mine posted this. This is from Olivia Nuzzi from New York Magazine. Best description of Buttigieg so far. Sick of old people? He looks like Alex P. Keaton. Scared of young people? He looks like Alex P. Keaton. Religious? He's a Christian. Atheist? He's not weird about it. Worry of Washington? He's from the flyover country. It's a whole list of how he answers something for middle-of-the-road people.
But there's one big problem there.
Yes.
And what is it?
That would be the gay.
And let's be clear.
And that's not a problem.
No, of course it's not. But it is if you're a racist and a bigot and anti-choice and all anti-everybody and you discriminate against LGBTQIA, all of that. And so in my opinion, yet again, you're refusing to hear. And I know it's hard that there are people who just... That's
won't.
Just how they are.
They just won't.
They just, and maybe one day they'll change, maybe they won't, but I know that my black time is worth too much.
To walk around begging these people to get it together.
I don't care. They have the right to hate.
Yeah.
They have the right to do that. As long as they don't legislate it, as long as they don't hurt anyone physically, deny anybody housing or jobs or whatever, they have, and trust me, that's what they're after, and that's why they elected this man.
Also, can I just say this? Can we talk about...
Because he didn't win.
Can we talk about the character assassination of Joe Biden in the midst of having a man in the White House who has been elected?
Thank you.
And I'm not saying that one excuses the other, but what I'm saying is that when you know it's conservatives doing it, and that's what's blowing my mind, watching it day in, day out.
Like what
out.
Kind of things?
Well, you know, talking about, you know, him sniffing women's hair and the over-touching and the this and that, which is a valid conversation.
I think they've dropped it, it seems like.
It keeps coming
up for
me.
Well, you're talking about Facebook?
Yeah. All over
the
street.
Yeah, that's, again, the algorithm.
Yeah.
It's not in mine at all.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, yeah, so it's like, I think that that they've really, I don't think there's a need to at this, yes, that they're going to do that with every candidate. But here's my thing. The idea that, of course, people have views and opinions, they're supposed to, and they get to vote and all of that. And in no way am I suggesting that under normal conditions, I would assume that everything is, I don't think, you know, 8 years ago or not even that, 4 years ago, I wouldn't be thinking as harshly as I would, like, these people are conservatives who are mounting these attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's weird, the tribalism term. I don't like using that term because I feel like it sort of somehow excuses it. Like, there's something about saying tribalism that makes it sound like it's natural, like it's an anthropological thing,
right,
rather than what it is, which is just straight up bigotry. And it's just, that's all we're talking about here. And so, yeah, some people, yes, they're going to discredit every person they can. Is it ridiculous given the fact that the pussy grabber's in charge?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous critique. And if I were advising, you know, conservative person, a Republican who's campaigning, I would say, don't bring up harassment. Just don't bring it up.
Right.
But they don't care.
They
because
don't care.
They don't care.
They're
red
shameless.
Meat for their base.
That's what I'm saying. It is shameless. And I find the ability to disconnect from the reality of supporting Trump and then criticizing Biden.
It's cognitive dissonance.
It's amazing.
It's a uniquely human ability to take two contrary points of view and hold them at the same time.
And speaking of Trump contradicting his own administration, confirmed that he was giving strong consideration to releasing detained undocumented immigrants in Democratic sanctuary cities.
Can I tell
cities.
You how every part of the languaging around this is fucking offensive. Releasing, these are not animals.
No.
These are not wild dogs.
No.
These are not rabid rats or something. These are human beings. You don't release them. Second, besides I love that ICE, which I consider just racism central.
Yeah.
I love that even ICE had to be like, dude, this is financially a really bad idea. It'll cost us all sorts of money and we don't even have people to do it. And why would we do that?
And you're going to bus people.
Do it. Let's do it. Bring
you're going
it
to bus people. And did you see what Cher had a funky response to this yesterday?
I'm gonna tell you something about Cher. Cher got some problems.
She ain't perfect.
She
was saying, you know what, and why would we take these people when we can't take care of our own homeless on the street? Now I know that you, but you can, you cannot
actually
complain.
Sure, we could take care of it. See, this is the problem I have with it. We actually could. We're just not.
We don't. And we've made here, especially here in California and Los Angeles, we set aside $2 billion that's not
spent.
Being
they haven't used.
Okay.
That's why Garcetti don't even think about running. But yeah. No, here's the thing. I think that the discussion, the way that Trump and his administration have chosen to talk about these human beings, and mm-hmm. they call it their rapists and vermin. He's, you know, they're infecting us or whatever. All the languaging they've used is inherently racist and actually very, you know, Nazi-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, the concept of I'm going to punish states by sending immigrants there,
right?
It's ridiculous. It,
you know, but,
in
but,
every
but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what the idea is.
It's not a punishment.
Is.
That's the whole point. We're pro immigration.
It sends me back to Birth of a Nation.
Oh yeah.
And you know, as if there are rats running through the street, an infestation. That's really what he's saying.
Yeah, it is.
He's saying I'm going to infest you.
Yeah.
Which is disgusting.
And I can tell you exactly who taught him. I can tell you exactly who taught him how to spell the word infest. His name is Stephen Miller. And he's down the hall.
Yeah.
That's why. So it's absolutely gross and disgusting. And I said, bring it up. Well, let's go pick him up. Let's make a car train. If that's what we can do to help these people to stop this forced, created humanitarian crisis.
Yeah.
Everybody who's got a car, let's go meet, or maybe we get some buses, and let's go pick these families up, keep them together, and allow them to legally apply for asylum like they're trying to.
And
this is an international violation of our own laws.
And we were just talking about the fact that there are people down at the border writing people's parents' names, birth dates, telephone numbers on backs of children with a Sharpie.
Yep.
Because you know what? Because
that's the only way. Nobody else. There's no other way to keep track of people.
Because,
the government's not doing it.
Because here's the thing.
ISIS isn't doing it.
We as humanity have been here before. We've done this.
Yes, we have.
We've done this
to people.
We've
branded human beings in the most terrifying and horrible ways, from slavery to the Holocaust.
We have done this. Why haven't we learned this lesson? What is so disgusting about us in our own humanity that we have not learned
this
lesson?
This is the thing. The capacity for infinite good is unfortunately and undeniably also creates the capacity for infinite bad. And for me, humanity is the only game in town, and I love it. And what I do know is that every time there is a huge wrong in our history and in our current times, there's never a time when something evil has gone unfought. Never in human history. And I don't care, you know, our cynical friend, mm-hmm. everybody, listen, I am right about this. Every time, there's never been a time when there's slavery where there haven't been people who were stood up and fought against it. There haven't been abolitionists. There's never been a time women couldn't vote when everybody was cool with it. Never, ever, ever. So that is what we're facing. But the problem, the difficulty I think we have is that, and it can feel like a trap. And I understand when people say we've got to use their tactics and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't believe that.
No.
I believe that the tactics are just as how you get there is important as getting there. And I also think that you don't corrupt yourself and who you are. That's my personal belief.
Right.
I'm not saying other people don't have to agree with me, but you know.
For me, I am, what is killing me in this moment is that the lack of shock and disgust.
Well, they're not human.
That we as a country, we should all be outraged. But we're also focused on, the Mueller report. We're also focused on, you know, Notre Dame is on fire. We are focused on a lot of things. But this, we do not treat human beings like this.
Well, here's the problem. I think that also, it's easy to get stuck in our sort of pundit bubble or the cable news bubble. I think if you go look at local news, you know, and what they're pushing, you know, I think that we're in a bubble a little bit, and it can be easy to think that know fully that the first big resistance turnout we had was the Muslim ban.
Absolutely.
And that you've seen across the board, from Rachel Maddow crying on down, people, you know, the separating of children did impact, and people did. Now right now, since they aren't seeing the re-up yet, you know, but I believe that we people are outraged by that, they're disgusted by that, and it will be it is the thing that will bring down all of these people. One of a big part of it, if not the thing. But I think that outrage is out there, but we're not in this bubble. You're not seeing that because all they do is sit and hypothesize about what they could do about the Mueller report.
And also, here's my other thing. You know what makes me angry about Christian Nielsen?
Oh, I can't imagine.
Is that he fired her We didn't fire her.
No.
She didn't get put out because we were angry. She got put out because he was angry.
That's right. Because she wasn't mean enough.
She wasn't evil enough.
Let's be clear, she's a woman. I don't understand, not that I want to claim her, mm-hmm. but I don't understand why people, you know, it's just, here's the deal. Like, this is a corrupt, illegitimate president. And these are corrupt people who work for him. Anybody who goes to work in the administration, mm-hmm. I got nothing to say for, because you know what you're walking into at this point. And
you know who you're working for.
And you know who you're working for. And so I believe that we just have to, our biggest struggle is actually organizing ourselves and not letting our anger get diffused and feeling like other people aren't angry too because you don't hear it from your house.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we're all in our little communities and all in our little, like, you know, algorithmed out areas, and it can seem like you're alone. And that's what's so great about something like the Sexy Liberal. I'm not trying to do this, but the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Because
right.
What you need to know is that actually you are far from alone.
You're part of a community.
Yeah. And so sometimes we don't see that in the absence of something largely organized like the Women's Day, like the Women's March or the Science March or whatever march. This is the thing. So we have to, you know, and MoveOn is a great organization. You should be checking them out and forming groups in your own area and trying to make those bonds so that we can protest because we have to. And I, you know, I think it's, I am saddened to the point that, like, I'll admit it. I told you last week, mm-hmm. I was walking my dog and I had a crying moment because mm-hmm. I was there talking about, you know, the treatment of, you know, immigrants and people and who, they just want asylum. Like,
yeah.
It's just, and it's so upsetting and it's so disgusting and it's shameful.
Yeah,
you know?
It's shameful. It's absolutely shameful.
And all I know is that, you know, we are doing what we can and we got to do a little bit more, you know, and that's what I don't want anybody to, I want you all to realize that you are making a difference, because if we hadn't come out to that, those airports, I was there.
Yeah.
Nancy went.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that hadn't happened, that would have gone through.
That's right.
You know? And so, we can't all just wait for the ACLU to get stuff done.
That is ultimately my point too. It's like, we're looking at this moment and, you know, the fact that, like, it makes me ask myself the question, what are you doing? When I am seeing stories about people writing the name, if somebody had to write my name on my child's back, Angela, I would be undone.
Yeah.
I would be undone. That is, it's not okay.
But here's the thing, I'd be grateful.
You know?
Because those people are volunteering and they're doing the only thing that they can think to do and that the only thing I can think to do to try to stop these people from having their children stolen.
Yeah.
Illegally. Kidnapped.
Yep.
By one of the most powerful governments on
the
planet.
These are war crimes,
No, they absolutely are. This is against our laws. It's against our laws and international law. It's absolutely a crime. Trust me, I believe this administration and everybody in it should be charged with a whole bunch of crap. And Kristen, don't even try to leave the country because you up for it.
Yeah.
But I think that, it's hard because, again, I believe the cable news is doing a really, I'm not happy with it. Crapcastic job of covering the news.
Yep.
I don't need to see 18 hours in a row of another of the same panel over and over again. And
talking about what's going to be in this report.
Everybody talking about what may or may not, and what do they do if it isn't, and what do they do if it is. Y'all, fuck it. We know what's going to happen. They're going to send a color-coded shit. Nancy and them going to scream. We're going to have to force Nancy and them to go, no, 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 no. We want the real thing.
Yep.
Elijah Cummings is going to be like, no, 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 no.
And we're going to have to go to court.
And we're
going
to have to go to court, and they're going to have to bring in the subpoenas. And then this is the thing. If the people try to not come in for the subpoenas, arrest them.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yep.
Go have them arrested and drag them the fuck in. And we're just going to have to make that happen. But at the end of the day, there's a whole bunch of other news that they are neglecting all day long. MSNBC and CNN cover things.
Yes.
That is it. And I do want to say that. And I also want to say, you guys are doing the work. It's hard. You're going to have these crying moments.
Yes.
We're going to have those moments.
Yeah,
but then we're
going to
pick ourselves up.
It's going to be rough.
We're going to hug each other, dust ourselves off, and remember that these are the times when we find out who we are and who our friends are and who our family is, and we become better people in a stronger country.
And that is our final word.
There you go.
And now it's time for emails. Time to go get your emails.
That was nice. It was a very whimsical.
Yes. This is from Paul V. Thank you for writing.
Paul, you're so wonderful.
Yes. Paul says, catching up on some podcasts, A Bad Sexy Liberal, and listening to the show where you're talking about someone being a quote-unquote normal Jewish mom. It pissed you off. As well as should.
Yeah, to be clear, in case you didn't hear that, What I was talking about was being told by someone, and in no way do I think this is their intention, but when people say, you know, I'm a Jewish mom, so I love my kids, that it bothers me. And I know that that's not how, when people have spoken to me and they've said that,
yeah.
I know that's not their intention. And right. So that's why I don't smack them mm-hmm. or verbally smack them, because smacking them would put me in jail. And it's, I guess it's in theory wrong. But because I know that's not their intention, that they're just right. trying to express how they love their child. I just wish that their expression of loving their child didn't denigrate everybody else's love of their child.
Right.
And that's what it comes off as.
Right. And he says, as a phrase that often pisses me off yep. as is all American. And that's in that same wheelhouse sometimes.
But that's why we use it.
Yes.
But I'll go on because he says yes. what it is.
I've never heard or read this phrase as a description for someone that's not white, with the exception of Margaret Cho, but she called herself that. Pay attention the next time someone on the news or on American Idol says it. I imagine they'll look like your quote-unquote normal white person. Love you, ladies. Paul.
It's why we use it constantly. We're like, a good old American. And I'm like, no, you yeah. gonna look at our black asses
yes,
and say it.
That's right.
And we agree with you, Paul. And I also think that it's so interesting to me that when they say working class, they mean mm-hmm. white working class
yes,
people.
They do.
When they say average working class, they mean a white guy.
Yeah.
The standard that needs no explanation is white. The mm-hmm. only time characters' ethnicities are expressed is when they have one.
Yeah.
Outside of white. White is somehow gets away with not being an ethnicity, even though it's the minority of the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but that's, you know, hey, that's, I agree with you, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for writing and being such a good person.
Yes. Next up. This is from Ryan S. I'm sorry.
You know what? I'm going to have to start redacting
you do.
The emails because I don't know why your lips can't stop. All right. Bacon rocks and pork rolls, he says. And all hail unanimity. Hi, ladies. Just like both of you, my girlfriend and I believe the woman from Slovenia who cut off her hand to get insurance money won today's Idiot of the Week going away, which means her going away to jail is well-deserved. Her stupidity level beat all of the other contestants combined.
Yes.
Interesting to know that life in Slovenia has gone to shit since Melania left. And that her former countrywoman did not be best. By the way, thanks for the heads up for what we can expect as two blind people riding the tube when we visit England later this year. I guess the woman getting her freak on at King's Cross Station needed the train's vibration to truly wax her pony twice.
Oh, that is a really
that's a good use. Oh, we love our t-shirts.
Yes.
We know Harry Potter considers it the magic station, but J.K. Rowling didn't mean it in that way. Or did she? Anyway, you gave us another fantastic Idiot of the Week. We look forward to next week's shows. Your fans always, Brian and Katie. We love you from Collingwood, New Jersey. And they say, P.S. I was actually born in the Allegheny Mountain region, and I find it distressing that Pennsylvania is trying to give Florida a run for its money when it comes to idiocy. That's true, but never fear. I believe in Florida.
Florida. Let me tell you something. Florida came to play.
Let me tell you something. Never anybody who votes against Florida, you're just not paying attention.
Mm-mm.
Seriously, if we could get a grant, something is wrong that needs to be looked into there. Something is wrong, especially in Port St. Lucie.
Next up, we have Resistance Wrap-Up.
Nice fade away. Nice. Okay, so you guys know of The Color of Change. We've talked about them before, but it's a great organization. And There's a petition to sign, and obviously donating to Color of Change is important, but we think this information is actually important. So there are four high-profile corporate charities that are helping to send millions of dollars to hate groups.
What?
A new report shows that between 2014 and 2017 alone, nearly $11 million was contributed to 34 hate organizations through donor-advised funds, including those managed by Schwab Charitable, Fidelity Charitable, Gift Fund, Vanguard Charitable, and Donors Trust.
Which, I'm going to tell you something, Angela. When I read that, it blew my mind.
That's why I'm like, we're doing this one this week. So not only are these charities funding hate at disturbing levels, they're helping those who donate to hate groups get tax breaks for it. So they have a responsibility to ensure that the funds they manage do not help hate groups. Yeah, I would call that a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
I would. We cannot wait for the next white nationalist terror attack to hold these charities accountable. So tell the corporate charities to stop allowing donations to hate groups. So you can go to Color of Change and sign this petition, but also just be aware of this. And if you work at an organization or a company where they're that uses these companies, you let people know.
Yeah.
And I would suggest also that, you know, we tweet to these charities, then we write to them,
yes.
and we tell them we are disturbed to find out
exactly
because if they get inundated with enough of this, it will stop. So one more time.
You got to Sun City these people.
That's what I'm saying. Schwab Charitable, Fidelity Charitable, Gift Fund, Vanguard Charitable, and Donors Trust. Look them up, check them out, and see if you can hold them accountable, because they should be.
We want to thank Gail and Laura, our audio producers, who do a fantastic job on our podcast. We want to thank everybody over at Stephanie Miller and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network.
That's right, all the mooks and everyone. We want to thank the man who wants to kill Stephanie for insurance money, and mostly, of course, Miss Stephanie Miller. Yes. Please check out the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, sexyliberal.com. Follow, repeat, follow.
Yes, you can write to us at Frangela at 08. Frangela08 @gmail.com.
It's right after you say the zero, your eyes do that dark. She's got like 17 tells. I don't know if I'm showing you this. This is the difference. Like, I don't play cards well at all.
Yeah.
You know, at all. Francis will tell, attest. Because I don't pay attention. I'm in it for the social game and people get mad at me. But this is why I have tells, I'm sure, but I think I have a good hand when I don't. Mm-hmm. And that's actually why you can't know what I'm doing.
Right.
You, on the other hand, like, a bunch of tells. And when your eyes go up and back and forth, you don't know what you're about to say.
No, I don't. I'm looking for it.
Looking at the ceiling. So you're like, where is it? Where's the email? Is it up there?
Is it in that file?
Where is it? So, Frangela08@gmail.com. And please follow us at Frangela D-U-O or at Meetime Frangela. You can, you know, to follow that show, follow our show that way also.
Yeah, I'm Frances Callier.
I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela. And thank you so much for listening to
The Final Word.
The Sexy Liberal Podcast Network.
It's no surprise that newsmakers try to manipulate the audience. They want you to believe that they are the one holding the line, and they'll use any trick they can to get you there. But don't let them fool you. Get unspun. I'm Amanda Sturgill. I've been a reporter, and today I teach future reporters to cut the spin and think critically about what newsmakers say. My podcast, Unspun, shows you how to know when you're being manipulated by the news. Learn to spot the tricks and how to make up your own mind about what's true. So if you're tired of being fooled by the news, subscribe to Unspun today. Unspun, because you deserve the truth.